Thank you and good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Bloom, to our Bloom Conference. Man, I'm so excited to be here. It's a privilege and it's an honor, not something that I take lightly. Just as Paul gave thanks to the Lord for calling him trustworthy to share the gospel, I too am so thankful to the Lord for entrusting me with this calling that he's placed on my life. And thank you all for coming to this session. And you had the blurb, you had the choice on if you wanted to come or not. I appreciate that. Thank you to Allie. I know she's not here, but she will hear. Just in her obedience to the Holy Spirit, that when the Lord told her me, that she obeyed. And that also gave me the opportunity to obey as well. So are we ready? Yes. Okay, so I am a mom. Sorry. I am a mom. And talking about momming, initially, I was just like, I'm not qualified. I've got a 15-year-old. I've got an 11-year-old. But then I thought about all the momming life that I actually go through. And I've been qualified since the day I conceived, pretty much. But, you know, I also wanted to make it a point to say that we don't all have to currently be moms right now. And so I wanted to kind of poll the audience. If you want to raise your hand, if you don't, it's okay. But I want to see who we all have here. Who do we have? Do we have moms who, people who want to be moms eventually at some point in time? Do we have moms of babies? Moms of toddlers? Moms of like elementary schoolers? Moms of preteens and teenagers. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, after those, moms of those who think they're adults. And moms of adults. And what about grandmothers? And what about great-grandmothers? So, from that poll, we can all see that we all belong here. There's a little bit of wealth of knowledge and experience that we all have to bring to the table on today. And so, I want us to start by first thinking about our mothers, because we all have a mother. We all came from a mother. And I want you to think about the things that you loved about your mom. The things that you can remember about your mom, the things that she said, things that she did, those things that were like, you know what, that was pretty cool. Or even those things that you're like, when I have kids, I'm definitely not doing that. There's a wide variety of experiences that we get from our moms. And whether we realize it or not, we all walk into motherhood carrying something from our moms. So I have this daughter. Those of you who go here know my fabulous Hannah Grace. Hannah Grace is the daughter that we prayed for. Having children was not easy for us. And initially we were like, Lord, we thank you for Jeremiah. We thank you. And I had the dream, and my doctor put her in my arms, and I said, hey, Hannah Grace, I'm your mommy. And that was the day I knew we were going to be having a girl. And so go back to my past a little bit. I am a preacher's kid. I am the only girl, and I am the baby. Am I spoiled? Yes. I'm 44 years old and I am still spoiled. But I remember as my daughter, Hannah Grace, was getting older, my dad, he would say, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You gave her the daughter so that now she can know what we went through, Lord. And I would always look at him like, whatever. You know, I wasn't that bad. And there was this day. I had my own hormonal things going on. I was hot, I was tired, I was irritated. My patience wasn't short, guys. It was gone. It was just gone. And we had entered into this season with Hannah Grace where now she was hormonal, she was moody, and she was cramping. And I had said something to her, and my lovely child responded in such a way that it was a tone, and it was that level of disrespect. And the way that I can explain it is like these hairs on the back of my neck kind of came up, and I was just like, I know she didn't. And so, and whatever she said, she just kind of, she walked off just minding her own little business. She didn't even know how she left me. And I was like, okay, it's time for me, Mama Bear, to put her in her place. So I'm walking down the stairs, and I had the nerve and audacity to say, Lord, I don't know who she thinks she's, who she thinks she is. And our loving Father so graciously, clearly and plainly said, she's my daughter, and she's just like you. And I said, oh, okay. Well, and that that really shifted my focus just like that, because I really had to think, how am I feeling right now? What is my mood going through? And how many times am I like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm in a funk right now. And how gracious is our Father's love towards me when I go through that? And so that Mama Bear, hey, I'm the queen, you're gonna have to bow down to me type of mindset, it quickly went out the window. And my approach changed with Hannah Grace in that moment because I realized that I was at a pivotal point of establishing a behavior, an expectation, and a legacy. And what am I going to do with that? I can either build her up or I can tear her down in that moment. But everything that I did was going to have a lasting impact. And so I want to talk to us today about when God gives us our children, the legacy is in our hands. What happens for them, the projection for their future, that rests in our hands. Think about that. Think about the things your mom did with you. Think about the things your mom said, the rules, the meals, the fun things, all of that. That's legacy. God has placed the legacy of the next generation in our hands. And he does this through influence. We know that word. Based on society, influence is a thing. Being an influencer, it is the thing. So Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 31, 25 says, 25, 26 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I don't know about you guys, but that sounds like influence to me. When we hear the word influencer, we don't think, motherhood is a generational influence. But it is. Little did we know that when we became moms, we automatically became influencers. And we don't need millions and millions of followers because the Lord's already given us little followers in our homes. And here's what's the funny part. Did you guys know that we've been going viral all of our lives? Think about it. How many times have your kids brought up, remember that time when mom did blah, 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 blah? Or remember when mommy said, when we were in the line and she said to that person, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, oh, They didn't have the phones to record us. They didn't have the videos or anything like that. But the example that we laid out right then, we went viral in their minds. It planted a seed in their hearts for how mom reacted and how mom responded. So listen, ladies, our children, they pay attention to how we respond. They pay attention to how we speak. They pay attention to how we handle pressure. They pay attention to how we handle our spouses, how we handle our other children. They pay attention. That's what legacy is. So then what kind of legacy are we leading? Are we leaving? What do we do as influencers with our influential status? We build legacy daily. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith. But he goes on. He says, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. There's so many times when I read my word and you know, you read things and then something just kind of blows up in your face. And it's like, wait, I've read that before. But that's the only statement. If you Google, if you search in your Bible, you're not going to see anything else about Lois and Eunice. But think about that statement. The faith that Timothy had on the inside of him was rooted there from his grandmother and from his mother. The legacy of loving the Lord, the legacy of obedience was rooted from the very beginning of his grandmother and his mother. Now, going back to the Proverbs 31, that typically gets read during Mother's Day. We all know the Proverbs 31, right? But have you guys really gone to the beginning of Proverbs 31 and read the caption at the top? It says, hold on, let me switch my screen right quick. This was interesting. It says, the words of King Lemuel's mother. Proverbs 31 were the words of his mother. And this is the legacy that we are encouraged to mirror ourselves as wives and mothers and as women. It came from the mouth of his mother. And she set the expectation for her son. If you go even into the first few verses, she's talking about how not to behave as a king. Don't get involved in the drinking, because then you get drunk and then you're not able to have the compassion for the poor. So abstain from doing this. Don't get with these type of women. And here's the thing. She told him the reasons why. How many times as moms do we say to our kids, just because? Well, mom, why can't we? Because. Well, why can't I? Because. But how impactful would the statements of faith or the guidance that we give our kids be when we add on the whys? I remember my dad sharing a story with us some years ago, and he was talking about, I don't remember the name, but I was young, but it was about a famous basketball player. He had either basketball or football. He just signed $1 million contract. He was so excited. Dream job. He went out on the night, went partying, did drugs, first time, died in a terrible accident. Could have been a boating accident, could have been a car accident. I can't recall the details. But I never did drugs a day in my life because my dad attached the reason. I was able to understand it wasn't just a don't do drugs, because when we tell kids don't do, what happens? They're curious, right? It kind of drives them even more to be a little more tempted to explore and figure out why. But I remember that being a staple lesson in my life, that my dad said, it only takes once. It just takes one decision to completely alter and change your life. And him telling that reason why, even though I was a little kid, we were still doing Smokey the Bear, I think, just say no to drugs type of thing. We didn't even get the full impact of what drugs could do. But taking that one extra step to say why left an impression for me. Sometimes just taking that extra moment, even though we might be tired, or even though we don't want to have to say this all the words, and we don't, you know, it's easy because mommy said no. But why? It's a valid question, because even as grown-ups, we want to know why. So let's establish that legacy and the principle. Well, why can't I have sex before marriage? Well, it's not just the whole pregnancy thing. It's not just the whole STD things. It's because we want to live righteously before our God. And sex outside marriage is a sin. And we want our lives to be pleasing to the Lord. We want to be kingdom representatives. Guess what? They'd get it. Because you know what? We live in a world where the world tells them why they should do all the things. We live in a world where the world tells them why they shouldn't do certain things. So we can be emboldened as mothers and leave that legacy to let our kids know the why. We just have to step back for a second and make that investment in the time. And Lord, help us with time. I feel like I can definitely use an extra 6 hours every single day. And even if I got that, I don't even know if I would still be able to keep up with everything. As moms, we set the path and the tone that our daughters will be as future mothers. That's pretty strong. We're setting up future mothers. And then for you mama boys, you're setting your sons up. You're setting the bar for who they're gonna look for in a wife. Because eventually they're gonna desire to have children. And they're gonna want their children to have a type of growing up that they had. We have such a responsibility. Can we do it on our own? Absolutely not. We do it with the help of the Lord. Our children may sometimes forget what we say, but they'll always remember how we lived. Now, legacy, it's not always about repeating what our mothers did. I want to be empathetic of the fact that everybody doesn't come from a great background with a mother. I've got great memories of my mom. I've got great memories of my grandmother. But if you go just one generation, my mom didn't have great memories with her mom. She didn't have a great upbringing with her mother. So it's not necessarily about doing everything that our mothers did for us, but it's all about mothering under the umbrella of grace through Christ. Mothering the way that God leads us to. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is in the business of rewriting stories. He's in the business of redemption. We've seen him rename people. We're living in the Bible days, right? We've seen him rename people. We've seen him forgive and then use. We've seen the stories. So coming from a background that may not be sunshine and rainbows, that doesn't determine the legacy. God's redemption can. God's healing can. And one thing that was put on my heart, I didn't put it in my notes, but sometimes as we're mothering, it's hard to get over those hurdles, those tough moments. But our Father is a God who teaches us when we don't know how. He teaches us to forgive when we don't know how to forgive. He shows us how to move on when we don't know how. And so if there are moments where you look at, well, I didn't have the best mom. She didn't teach me how to be a mom. She wasn't a great mom. But here you are being a mom. The Lord can teach you that. He can give you somebody in your life that can say, hey, I can be a mentor. Hey, I can show you how. Yes, we do have social media, and social media can be good in some ways. Some ways it's not. But as long as you have that foundation on Christ, you can learn. You can get that. Am I saying that it's easy? Absolutely not. But through God, is it worth it? Absolutely. We've got Rahab. Do we all know who Rahab was? Yeah, who said it? Yes. I'm going to read this description. A Gentile in Jericho who risked her life to hide Israelite spies, her faith saved her family and led her into the genealogy of Jesus. Now listen, I'm very proud to be a Brisbane. Now, again, if you go to North, there are two large families here. You've got the Guzmans and you've got the Brisbanes. There are 10 grandkids or nieces and nephews here total, and they all are all over the place. And the families they serve, right? So I'm very proud of my name. I'm proud to be a Brisbane. We even have a song for our family when we get together. I mean, it is a whole thing, right? If I were in the genealogy of Jesus, I'm sorry, but I would be like, do you know where I come from? There's a pride in that. But you go from a prostitute to being in the genealogy of Jesus? Only God can do that. Leah. Do we know who Leah was? Leah, Lord, help her. Just desiring just to be loved by her own husband. But she was rejected. But God showed her favor and chose her son Judah to be the ancestor of Jesus. She could have gotten stuck in the legacy that she, the life that she was in. She could have just gotten trapped there. But through her love and her dependency on God and her trust in Him, God found her faith and completely rewrote the chapter. If you look at several of the women's end of their story and go back and look at the beginning, you literally would be like, wait, how did you get here from there? That same path and legacy is something that we all through Christ can live in. God redeemed every single one of them, and their legacy was historically monumental. And so the legacy your children receive will not be determined by the mother you had, but by the mother you choose to be in Christ. So, what is this legacy that we're leaving, or legacy that we're creating? I've got 3 points for you. It's a legacy of faith, a legacy of grace, and a legacy of identity. a legacy of faith, a legacy of grace, and a legacy of identity. Our children don't just need to hear about God. They need to learn how to have a relationship with Him. So that legacy of faith is us teaching them how to pray, showing them how to pray. When we're going through things, showing them how to talk to God. When we're stressed or when we're overwhelmed, it's okay for them to hear us say, "Lord, help me." Or, "Father, give me wisdom on how, Lord, I need wisdom on how to handle this." Sometimes we shield our kids from things because, you know, they're younger. We don't want them to see or feel. But they're in training ground when they're in our home. We're training them. They're going to go through the obstacles. They're going to have the hard times. They're going to have the great times. So why not model to them when we're going through, what are the things that we do? What are the ways that we pray? Share your hurts with your children. Shielding them from your hurts, it actually robs them from the opportunity of watching God's goodness carry you through so that He can get the glory. That CeCe Winans song, "The Goodness of God," it literally has become my life's anthem. And if I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God, that has to be in the good times and the bad. That if something's not going right for us, that my children, that they don't see that I just completely shatter and fall, or that they don't just see, oh, miraculously something worked out. No, God did this. And this is how He did it. We didn't know that this was going to happen, but we believed and we trusted God. And this is how He came through for us. Share your testimony with your children so that they can learn who God is, so that they can have that same expectation that God is going to do the same for them that He did for you. Talk to your children and be honest. Be vulnerable. We didn't all get it right and perfect. Sometimes, instead of just telling them, "Nah, it'll be okay." "Well, how do you know it's going to be okay, Mom?" "Well, because God says that all things are going to work together for our good." "Or we know we're going to be okay because, you know, David said, 'I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread.' And Mommy and Daddy, we are righteous people. We live rightly before God. We serve Him. And so, baby, you're not going to have to beg for bread. You're not going to have to go without want, because God's already going to take care of us, because it's the principle, the legacy that we leave." They need to see grace, not perfection. "You know, I'm so sorry, baby. I was upset. I said what I said and I was wrong. I shouldn't have said it. And it was not okay for me to say that. It doesn't matter that I'm the mom and you're the child. It doesn't matter that I'm the adult and you're the child. You have feelings. And my words hurt you. You know what? This is what the Word of God, how the Word of God tells us how to handle offense. That if your brother offends you, you go to your brother. But also, if you know you've offended your brother, you go to your..." So guess what? The task still lies on you. "I believe, Hannah Grace, that I've offended you. And I want to give you the opportunity to tell Mommy how I offended you. And once you've told me how I've offended you, I'm sorry I was wrong. Do you forgive me? I don't always get it right." What legacy does that teach? The principle of forgiveness. Isn't that what we're instructed to do? So how can our children learn to forgive? We teach them how to forgive. We show them how to forgive. We model how to forgive. So that then, when they leave our homes and they're in college and they're living with a roommate and this roommate has totally offended them, that they're not calling us, telling us now they have to move out of their dorm room and move back home because their roommate offended them, where all they had to do was just have a conversation and use grown-up words. But we have to first extend that grace. Do they always mean to be disrespectful? No. Remember that, oh Lord, these teenagers? They're getting to know their attitudes and their moods and all the things as well. And there are times where I have initially responded and the Lord had to rebuke me, because then when I heard the intent of my child, I had applied my own thinking to her actions. And she was able to say, Mommy, I wasn't trying to be I didn't know that that was being disrespectful. I'm sorry. So extending that grace, it gives those teachable moments for them to where they're not shut down, but they're built up. Putting scripture into action. The Bible is the final authority. It is the top and the bottom line. If we don't know some things, it's okay. If we don't know, we can go to scripture about it. We can talk to our pastors. We can talk to leaders here at church. We have a whole network of community of people who can help us. And as a pastor's kid, I can definitely say all pastors don't know either. But you know what? We are walking this life together. We are walking this life in fellowship. And so the legacy that we leave for our kids, one based on faith, one based on grace, but then also a legacy of identity. What we say to our children matters. What we call our kids matters. How we talk about our kids, it matters. Our words carry weight. So what does that mean? I was reading a scripture plan on the Bible app, a Bible plan, and I wanted to share this. It's by Dr. Shanika Nelson. It's called The Sacred Mission of Motherhood, Cultivation, Christ-Centered Legacy, Day 4. And it's called Building Disciples, Not Just Children. The scripture that it gives is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. I'm going to read. Your work as a mother is not just meaningful. It's eternal. In the quiet moments, the repeated corrections, the bedtime prayers, the way you show up day after day, you are doing holy work. You're not just raising children, you're raising disciples. And every time you speak life into their hearts, you are planting seeds that will bear fruit for generations. Deuteronomy 6 calls us to teach the word diligently to our children, not casually or when it's convenient, but with intention, consistency, and heart. The diligence looks like stopping mid-task to pray with them. It looks like turning tantrums into teachable moments. It looks like using their questions as doors to deeper conversations about God. It also looks like reframing what you see. Is your child strong-willed? Declare over them, you were made to lead with righteousness and courage. Is your child witty and sharp-tongued? Speak this. You were created to use your voice to bring truth and challenge the norm in love. When we reframe, we don't ignore challenges. We prophetically align them with kingdom purpose. Every declaration you make becomes a thread in spiritual tapestry, in the spiritual tapestry of their lives. As mothers, we have the power to shape not just behavior, but belief. What we consistently speak over our children can build either walls or wings. Let It Be Wings. This is the work that builds legacy. I want to share a little bit of my story. My mom gave her life to the Lord at a young age, at age 19. She and my dad got saved at a revival there in Charleston, South Carolina. But before then, my mom's mother, my mom was, I think, the middle of five children. And my mom was raised by her grandparents. And then for a little while, she was raised by her aunt in New York. And growing up, getting married, my mom, she did not have a relationship with her mother. Like, she knew that was her mom, but that was about all. On the other side, my dad, his mother, raised him in the church and just poured the love of the Lord into him. Church was not an option. And as my dad went into the ministry, and as they had us, my parents, they had my two brothers, and they struggled to have me for a while. And the legacy that I come from is my parents were just so saddened. They desired to have their girl. It just wasn't happening. And after praying, my grandmother went to my dad and my mom and said, "Go have your baby girl." And my parents conceived me. 4 years later, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was devastating to my parents. They found the tumor the size of a grapefruit on my right kidney. And again, I was the only daughter. I was the baby, and I was the prayed for one. My parents, their faith remained rooted. My grandmother was in the hospital. She was a nurse, so she would come in the hospital, and she would sit with me. She would sing with me. She'd read scripture. Growing up, we'd go visit. My dad would sit at the table with her, and they'd have Bible study. They would sing and worship. My grandmother would always share with us. She says, "I call every single one of your names out to the Lord, baby," all the way to her great-grandbabies up until her death. When we struggled to have children, that same legacy of faith that my grandmother had instilled in my parents, she instilled in us. The foundation and love of the Lord that had been poured into me over the years, fighting for my life with cancer. I knew God to be a healer. I knew him to be a restorer. I knew him because the stories were shared, but also the legacy was set as we were going through the life. I saw how to walk out the life with the Lord. I remember my grandmother saying, "The Lord told you you were going to have children, so you hold tight to that." Go back to my mom's side. Into her 30s, my mom had a time to be able to forgive her mom. And to this day, my grandmother is 93, I believe, 91, sorry. And at my mom's 70th birthday last year, my grandmother was there, and she stood up. She said, "Laverne's my best friend. She talks to me every day. She sits with me. She makes sure that I'm taken care of." (Clears throat) 2021, my mom, my best friend, she had a stroke. She wasn't the same. She hasn't been the same. But what is the same is the Jesus on the inside of her. The love of the Lord is the same. And this something happened last night. She called me and she was like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm just kind of fine-toothing my message. And she was like, okay. And she started to pray. Now, Laverne Brisbane is an intercessor. When I tell you, intercessor, pounding down the walls. Oof, goodness, sorry. Since her stroke, her prayer life has just changed because her words don't come to her as smoothly as they used to. And she prayed for me last night, and she said, Lord, just let your word do what it does. And by the time she said amen, she was like, she said, Missy, I'm sorry. I just, you know, my praying is just different. I said, no, ma'am, mommy. I said, you said, Lord, just let your word do what it does. And that's all that matters. Legacy. Hannah Grace, she came to me one day. She said, Mama, you're my best friend. Legacy. Do they love the Lord? Absolutely. Do I get it right all the time? No. Am I exactly like my mama? Do I have dinner cooked on the table for my husband every single day? Absolutely not. Did I come into marriage thinking that I would? Absolutely. And I had to get delivered from that bondage. But we sift through what matters. We sift through what's important. And as mom, the legacy is important. Loving the Lord with all of our hearts. Serving Him. And honoring Him. So, Mama, you're not always going to get it right. But if you choose to mom through Christ, the legacy you're going to leave is going to be solid. Thank you. And I do want to pray for a second, if we don't mind. Lord, we thank you, not just for this moment, but for the calling that you've placed on every woman in this room. God, you didn't make a mistake when you chose us to mother our children. Even on the days we feel overwhelmed and on the days we feel like we're getting it wrong, you're still working through us. Lord, I pray for every mother in this room, the ones who feel confident and the ones who feel unsure, the ones who had beautiful examples and the ones who are trying to break cycles. God, remind us that we are not bound by our past, that you are renewing us, shaping us, and equipping us daily. Help us to be intentional with our words and our reactions and our love. Teach us how to model faith in a real and authentic way. And teach us how to extend grace even when it's hard. And God, help us to speak life over our children. And let our homes be places where we are all rooted deeply in you, so that your goodness can be seen in our lives, all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.